Hi, I'm Leslie from the Most High Show, and we are going to check out James. He's doing the recovery rundown here, and we'll just see what he's doing. Hey, James, how are you?
Hey, Leslie.
Hey, so we just want to know what you're doing in the recovery rundown this week.
Got some great stories that we're working on this week that we hope everyone's going to find useful. One of the things we're going to look at, we're going to take a good hard look at some of the alcohol consumption in America, because I know we talk a lot about the opioid crisis here, but one of the things we also want to look at is how alcohol consumption is affecting a lot of people throughout the country. We also have a story about eating disorders and how that affects specifically the male community. Got a couple of mental health topics we're working on. Mental health and substance abuse in the LGBTQ community.
Oh, wow.
And also on college campuses.
Okay.
What those services look like. And then finally, we've got a really fun story. We're going to look at this new thing called sober bars that are popping up all over the country. So, got some good stories we're working on. Hope you guys find it interesting. We'll see you real soon on Recovery Rundown.
Live from the Most High Studio in Atlanta, Georgia, it's the Recovery Rundown with James Goodson. Recovery-related news and information delivered to you weekly. It's the Recovery Rundown.
Welcome to another episode of Recovery Rundown. I'm James Goodson. On this show, we've talked a lot about the opioid epidemic that is crippling the nation. We've told you more than once that around 47,000 people die every year from this crisis. We've reported the fact that this is a 500% increase in overdose deaths in less than 20 years. However, there's another stat that we think needs to be talked about. It's the 88,000 people who died from alcohol-related causes this past year. 88,000 nearly doubles the amount of opioid-related deaths. Alcohol is the third leading cause of preventable deaths in the U.S. The first is smoking, the second is obesity. Yet we don't see the same warning labels on booze as we do on, say, cigarettes. What we do see are billboards and commercials that promote alcohol as sophisticated, fun, sexy, and cool. Listen, we're not here to be preachy, but here's some hard facts about alcohol consumption in the U.S. Almost 90,000 people die from alcohol-related reasons annually. 5,000 of those are teenagers. More than 15 million people struggle with an alcohol use disorder, but less than 8% get any sort of treatment. More than 30% of all traffic fatalities involve alcohol. The cost adds up to about $300 billion annually. Now, we know most people can handle their booze and don't get smashed and black out every time they drink. But at the same time, it could be hard to tell if it's even a problem because of how it's accepted and even promoted in society. Now, if you suspect you have a drinking problem, there's lots of self-evaluation tools online. Just Google, "Am I an alcoholic?" Have fun with that. You may already know that suicide is the second leading cause of death for teens ages 15 to 29. But did you know that for young members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer community, the story is even grimmer? They are 5 times more likely than their straight counterparts to attempt suicide. According to the latest data, LGBTQ youth are more than twice as likely to use illicit drugs and regularly binge drink. There's an awesome organization called the Trevor Project. They are the leading national organization providing crisis intervention and suicide prevention services to LGBTQ young people. Check it out.
Trevor's 24/7 lifeline for LGBTQ youth ages 13 to 24 is just a phone call away at 866-488-7386. You can also call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255, no matter how old you are or how you identify. Remember, no problem is too big or too small to deserve support. You are not alone.
Eating disorders, it's a girl thing, right? Wrong. In fact, about 1 in 3 people struggling with an eating disorder is male. And that includes everything from anorexia to bulimia to laxative abuse. According to the latest stats, about 10 million men will struggle with an eating disorder in their lifetime, but most will not get the help they need because of the stigma of having a problem that is regularly characterized as feminine or gay. These diseases can have a profound effect on the body, but also long-lasting psychological fallout because research has shown that eating disorders often go hand in hand with other psychological issues like anxiety and depression. It can also lead to substance abuse and suicide behavior. Help for men with eating disorders can be difficult to find, but not impossible. Here's eating disorder specialist Katie Morton.
So there are a couple of centers that do focus on men with eating disorders, and they are Rogers Memorial Hospital in Wyoming, River Oaks Hospital in New Orleans, Louisiana, Eating Disorder Program at the University of Iowa in Iowa City, the Center for Eating Disorders at Shepherd Pratt, and that's a great program. I've had a few women come from there as well, because they do have a woman program, but they also have a men's program, and that's in Baltimore. And they have Redstone in Remuda Ranch for boys, so that's more like adolescents and everything. But I know Remuda Ranch also has a women's program. So those are just some resources. Help spread the word. Let people know there is treatment available out there, and you don't have to suffer in silence. We're all working together. This is a community.
The good news is that once a man finds help, they show similar responses to treatment as females. Now, if you're dealing with an eating-related issue and think you need help, you can chat with a professional at the National Eating Disorders Association. Call 1-800-931-2237 or go to nationaleatingdisorders.org. Many of you may have a kid in high school with college aspirations, and finding the right school can be a challenge. According to leading healthcare professionals, attention to on-campus mental health services should be just as important as any other criteria when evaluating colleges. Knowing such services are available will provide a family with greater peace of mind, but also could be life-changing or saving. Most mental health professionals agree that the number of college students with significant psychological problems is a growing concern. According to a recent survey from the American Psychological Association, counselors are seeing a steady increase in anxiety, depression, and relationship problems among the student body. And many say psychiatric services on campus is inadequate. Students who are experiencing emotional challenges say many aspects of college life can be very stressful, from newfound independence to college-level coursework and the social pressure to party. Studies have found that over 30% of college students abuse alcohol on a regular basis, making it a significant public health problem, with many universities reporting spikes in alcohol and drug-related injuries, sexual assaults, and even death. Ever heard of a sober bar? Sounds like an oxymoron, right? But it's a real thing. As more and more people reconsider the place of alcohol in their lives, these concepts are becoming more and more popular. There's a growing number of people who don't drink for health reasons, cultural reasons, or because they're in recovery, but still like to go out with friends. Sober bars are an opportunity for these folks to enjoy all the social benefits of a local watering hole without worrying about the temptations of a typical bar or waking up with another hangover. These alcohol-free taverns, in most cases, look and feel just like any other bar. Dim lighting, boisterous crowds, and vibrant music. And they offer a creative variety of mocktails, juices, and other boozeless beverages. These establishments are gaining popularity in large cities like New York, Chicago, and LA, but have been around the UK since the late 19th century. Here's part of a recent story from NBC's Today Show.
Going out while foregoing a drink is no longer for the strictly sober or the currently pregnant. A survey of Listen Bar's customers reported most were simply having a night off from alcohol. active exercisers, health conscious, and those who have an early meeting in the morning.
Alcohol really does kind of have a monopoly on how we socialize and how we have some of these really valuable times of being loose and being free. But a lot of times it also kind of gets in the way of what we're trying to do.
And that's a rapidly growing demographic. A recent survey said people in their early 20s reportedly drink 20% less than the generation before.
If a sober bar sounds like something you might want to check out, a quick internet search will help you find a sober bar near where you live or where you might be traveling soon. That's all for this week of Recovery Rundown. Thank you very much for watching. If you'd like more recovery-related news and info, you can go to mosthighshow.com and download our app. We'll see you next week on Recovery Rundown. That rhythm.